Amen. Good morning. I am, Andrew always speaks about my humility, and I'm very proud of my humility. So, did I just ruin it? It is such a pleasure to be here. This is a privilege. This is my 16th anniversary with Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College. And it's been super. I have several messages that I was praying about sharing. One of them was about harvests. I'm not going to share that one today, but I will say that Andrew Womack has been a harvest in my life. So many people miss their harvest. They don't recognize a harvest, what it is. People can be a harvest. Amen. Opportunities can be a harvest. And what a blessing this has been for us to be here for so long and have such an opportunity to share the word and see lives transformed. These testimonies that we're watching are just incredible, aren't they? And being on the platform and teaching, I don't always get to hear all of that kind of thing. I don't know all the students. I know some, you know, we get to know some, but to see those testimonies, that just blesses my heart. That's why we're here, is to see lives changed and lives transformed. Praise God. My wife got here a little bit late. She ran into some traffic. We live in northern Colorado Springs, but Betty Kay is here in the front row. And I've got to tell a funny first here about my wife, and hopefully we'll still be married when this is over. But she had a high school friend come last week that she had not seen in 50 years. And so they were just talking, and reminiscing about things. And the friend said, "Betty Kay, you remember that time when B.B. King was in your kitchen?" And Betty Kay had no clue what she was talking about. She says, "Yeah, B.B. King." Betty Kay's father and B.B. King grew up in the same town in Mississippi, and knew each other. And he was touring in Philadelphia in 1969. And somehow connected with her father, and he came to their house and was in the kitchen visiting, and Betty Kay's friends came over to try to meet B.B. King, and they were on the living room hoping he would come out of the kitchen. She had no memory of this. You know, Greg was talking about a woman's memory yesterday. It's selective. But I do appreciate most of Greg's message yesterday. my ribs got to work out, but she did lean over at one point and said, "I am so blessed to have you." Well, in my mind, she said that. Sometimes I have to live from there, you know. But praise God. God is so good. You're a good-looking group. Amen. Praise God. It's a pleasure to be with you. I'm going to start in Matthew with you, Matthew 14. Well-known story of Jesus feeding the multitude. And then I'm going to launch back after that into the Old Testament and make some comparisons here, but it says in Matthew 14, I'm going to read 16 through 18. It says, "But Jesus said to them, 'They do not need to go away.'" The disciples said, "Hey, send the crowd away. They're hungry. There's nothing to eat." He says, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." Well, this blew their minds, obviously. "And they said to him, 'We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Remember that. I'm going to come back to that. And he said, "Bring them here to me." I'm going to paraphrase this here. Jesus is with them. They've seen many miracles. They've probably seen other instances of feeding the multitudes. They've been with Jesus. And yet, though they have been with Jesus, he says, "We don't need to send the people away. You give them something to eat." And immediately they take inventory. I'm talking to all of us. That we take inventory of what we can see or tangibly put our hands on, And they came to the conclusion, we only have, and then fill in the blank. We only have, and I run into this in ministry over many years now and have dealt with thousands of people. And this is one of the things I hear more often, in different words perhaps, but it's the same attitude, it's the same perspective on life. When confronted with a challenge, many, if not most, Christians will respond, but I only have. But I only have a fourth grade education, but I only have $10 in the bank, but I only have a broken family, but I only have this and that. And if you only knew, that's the other phrase I'll hear, if you only knew what's gone on in my life. And there's this attitude of limitations that we've all dealt with. I can look in my own life, I've dealt with limitations where I imposed the limitations on myself. And it's as if I was saying to Jesus, you know, thanks for the confidence about feeding thousands, but I only have. So you need to find some other way to do this, because I know me, I only have. And there's a certain inferiority there, and there are limitations that we are putting on God, and there is basically a minimizing of what redemption has accomplished for us. Now, I want to jump to the Old Testament. I want to go to Psalm 106. Psalm 106, if you're not familiar, it's David recounting the trials and tribulations of Israel in the wilderness and of coming out of Egypt, and God did great things, and they rejoiced and were happy, and then they slid right back into sin. God did great things, they slid right back into idolatry. They would rejoice for a moment, then they'd go right back into sin and rebellion, and they would keep going this pattern of momentary rejoicing, and then back into whatever their sin is. In verse 21, Psalm 106, 21, we'll do 21 and then we'll jump to 24 and 25. It says, they forgot their Savior, they forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. They forgot God their Savior who had done great things in Egypt. Has God done anything good in your life? Have you forgotten about it? It says they forgot God their Savior who had done great things in Egypt, and then we'll jump to verse 24. Then they despised the pleasant land. That's the verse that this message is coming from. Don't despise your pleasant land. They despised the pleasant land. We'll talk about that. They did not believe his word. We'll talk about that. But complained in their tents. We'll talk about that. And did not heed the voice of the Lord. And if I have time, we'll talk about that. Amen. When I saw this, it's just, you know how verses, anybody ever had a verse come alive or a passage come alive? Hopefully you do. That happens to me all the time. But I saw they despised the pleasant land. And so I went back and I started to take this apart. What is going on here? Why do so many Christians, and I'm gonna move this into the Christian realm concept here, and I'll explain that. But why do so many Christians minimize what God has done, exalt their perceived limitations, I only have, I can't do, if you only knew, and we despise what Christ has done, and we try to get somebody else to help us out of our jam, and we are not understanding what has transpired within us. We don't understand the new covenant, we don't understand the new creation, we just simply are still living in a different era. And in so doing, whether you might not be doing it consciously or even proactively, but if you're just saying, we only have, I only can, if you only knew, you're despising the pleasant land. That's pretty heavy. I don't want to do that. I look back, I can see where I have done that. I have despised what God has done. I didn't even really understand what God had done in my life. But now, some of you may know, I finished my one-year battle with cancer. And I was told I was going to die and all of this. And I was 2 days from death when this giant tumor was discovered and all of that. So I went through a year of fighting cancer. And just a few weeks ago, I had my two-year update scan. And 2 years is significant in the doctor world, and so I do that just so I can hear the same doctors that told me I was going to die say, "You're cancer free." And that just blesses my heart. Amen. So, but I say that to say this, that since then, since that year battle is over, these last 2 years have been the most awesome of my life. I didn't know I wasn't appreciating life as much as I know I can now appreciate it. I'm not forgetting God. I'm going back to that. They forgot God. They forgot the great things he had done. And now I take time every day to remember the great things God has done in my life. I don't want to minimize what has happened in my life, how I got born again, how I came to meet my wife. She's so blessed. Actually, you understand. It's the other way around. We've all married up, right? Yeah. Amen. But what a blessing. 45 years we've been together. This is. And when I say together, I mean married together. I'm not going for that new stuff. But what a blessing that is. But I think of when they told me my first son was dead in the womb. He's 44 years old now. I give thanks for that. I give thanks for my three children. My Daniel here is my second son. For those of you that are disoriented, who is this guy? I'm his father, okay? Some of you may know Daniel more than you know me. But I have three beautiful kids. I have eight beautiful grandkids. We are blessed. I go through and I can name all the blessings, the healings I've had, not just this latest one. I've had other healings, some of them miraculous, some of them processes. And I take time to thank God. I'm not going to forget God and forget the good things he's done. And if a new challenge comes up, I don't say, I only have. No, I say, thank God that I've gone from this to this to this to this to this to this. And I'm going to keep on going. Praise God. But they didn't. They forgot God. Man, if you wake up in the morning, there's something to be thankful for right there. If you have air to breathe, we have a little bit less up here, but there's enough. Okay. That's something to be thankful for. Did you have breakfast this morning? Are you thinking about lunch? I am. That's something to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. We have cars to drive, houses to live in. In other words, attitude is everything in the kingdom of God. And if you forget God, then you're beginning to choke off the grace that's available for your life. You're despising the pleasant land. So let's move on. It says, and they despised, let me make sure I've got this right. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. That's verse 21. Verse 24, then they despised the pleasant land. And I see this all the time. I see Christians, so many people write me all the time, every day from around the world. I'm dealing with people. I love to help people, but I hear the same things over and over and over again. And it's basically they don't understand the new covenant. They don't understand what has transpired in Christ. They don't understand the cross. They don't understand resurrection. Let me tell you what you have, your pleasant land that is inside of you. Do you realize you have access to the name of Jesus, the most powerful name in creation? Do you know that at the name of Jesus, everything must bow? You have that capacity to call out and declare that name in you. Don't despise that. Go through the book of Acts and highlight every time they use the name of Jesus. It's powerful. You have the blood of the covenant. The blood of Jesus that has washed you, that has completely cleansed you, that has freed you from the power of sin. Talking about the pleasant land, you have the name of Jesus, you have the blood of Jesus, you have the Spirit of God living in you. Amen. Why would you say, I only have? Are you tracking with me? You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You, as Jim was speaking last night, you can't get more righteous. Your spirit is in the image of God. You're one spirit with him. I liked it when Jim was ministering last night, and sometimes in some conferences and services, I've heard of gold dust falling from the ceiling and angel feathers or whatever and falling. Jim got up one piece of confetti. I haven't even gotten that yet. Okay. I'd love at least two, but we're one spirit with him. We are righteous. We are a new creation. The first creation was very good. The new one is very, very good. That's you. You're a new creation. We have the armor of God. We have the faith of God, because the fruit of the Spirit is faith. You have God. You don't even have to work up your own faith. You got his faith. You have self-control. Now, you don't want to hear that one, but you have self-control. You have the love of God shed abroad in your heart. You have authority over all the works of the enemy. You can resist the devil face to face, and he must flee, if you'll be submitted to the pleasant land of what has transpired within you. See, most Christians don't have a clue of covenants. They don't have a clue of what the new creation is, and this is why they struggle. Many Christians, they see themselves here, and they see God up here. And then if you convince them that there's something better, you can get born again, so they grudgingly allow God to be here. Okay, he's closer. But if you only knew, I only have. And it's still the same thing going on. Say, no, it's better than that. Let me tell you. And then you finally get them convinced that God is here. He's so close. Oh, but I wish I could feel him. He's right. I know he's here. I know, but I just need to feel, just need an experience. And so they have this going on. That's still not it. And say, well, okay, maybe he's covered my sins. I get it, but it still seems like he's out here. Let me tell you what really happened when you got born again. It's not this. It's not this. It's not this. It's this. This. You became one with him. 1 Corinthians 6:17, we are one spirit with him. You became a new creation. Old things are passed away. You became made the righteousness of God in Christ. And here's the cool thing. We're not just down here. He took us up there. And we are seated with him in heavenly places. And so when someone says, but I only have, if you only knew, you're despising the pleasant land. You're despising, I'm not saying you're doing it openly, but you're doing it. When you doubt the goodness of God, when you doubt the finished work, when you doubt that you have Christ in you, when you doubt the authority that's in you, when you doubt the faith that's in you, when you keep talking and exalting all of your problems, you're despising the pleasant land. You're forgetting God, you're forgetting all the good things he has done, and you're not understanding. It's like people, trying to help people, I've come up with some very simplistic examples, but maybe they will help. So many people write me with questions from the old covenant. Why did this happen? And why did God let that happen? And why did this happen? And why did that happen? And I'm thinking, we're not even in that game. That it's like a football game. We'll call the old covenant football. All right? And we'll say that you're on a team of six-year-olds facing, who won the Super Bowl? Kansas City? Facing the Kansas City Chiefs. You're on a team of six-year-olds. The law is the Kansas City Chiefs. Good luck. You can't win. A lot of people see themselves in that kind of, but if you only knew, look at, I'm worth six-year-olds. I don't have anything. If I only have five loaves and two fish. And look at the law, the Kansas City Chiefs, we're goners. You're not in a football game. You're in a baseball game. Different rules, different reality. And so sometimes you get people, I understand, I'm in the new covenant, but I keep striking out. We all do. We all have. None of us have gotten a hit. But we have a guy on the team. His name is Jesus. He's a pitcher and a batter. He threw a perfect game. And then he hit four home runs. We won. We're in a new covenant. We won. But I didn't do anything, and I keep striking out. And they call it pass interference. No, pass interference is the old thing. Okay? Roughing the passer, that's the old thing. Offsides, that's not you. The baseball game. And guess what? The baseball game's over. It's been won. You're in the new covenant. You're in the finished work. You get the ring. You get the check. You get the parade. We're in the parade. This is the parade. Amen. And yet when Christians say, but you don't understand. No, you don't understand. You don't understand what's been accomplished. You don't understand. You're in the parade. You're seated with him in heavenly places. He triumphed over everything against you. The Kansas City Chiefs aren't part of the problem. That old covenant. And then they'll say with tears, but what about Job? Job wasn't playing football. Job wasn't playing baseball. Job was playing rugby. He's not part of it, any of this. And yet people rush to identify with Job and they reject identifying with Jesus. This is a problem. We're in the victory parade. We got the ring and the check. But I'm just like Job. I must be like Job. Because all these bad things are happening to me. Why are they happening? Because you're despising the pleasant land. You're not believing the word of God. You're not understanding the righteousness that you are, the authority that you have. It's inherent in you. The faith of God is in you. The blessings of God are for you. The grace of God is upon you. If we despise this, you're going to keep living like Job. That's not our game. I think one of the requirements for rugby is you got to not have teeth to even start. Okay. But our game is baseball, and the game's over. We won. Is that simple enough? We need to understand Israel lost so much because they despised what God had done for them. They could have lived in the land of milk and honey. And that's the football game. Ours is better. We're a new creation. We are seated with him in heavenly places. When you pray, don't pray from down here, pray from up there. Rule and reign. We are, as we heard last night, we're called to reign in life. Praise God. We should be the ones that have the confidence, not in ourselves, but in what has been accomplished for us. And we should be the ones that can minister with grace, with compassion, with authority, because we haven't forgotten what he did for us. Praise God. God has done so much in our lives, and some of us need to stop and take inventory and remember what God has done. And if you're sitting there thinking, well, he hasn't done anything for me, are you breathing? Well, start there. Give thanks. Give thanks for that. Did you get here in some kind of transportation? Give thanks for that. Did you have a roof over your head last night? Give thanks for that. Become thankful in what God has done for you. Don't despise the new creation. Don't despise the pleasant land. Don't despise all that God has done for you and is doing for you and has in store for you. Don't despise it. Embrace it. Amen. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Job. No, that's what it says in a lot of Bibles I've discovered, because that's what people write me. That's what they're looking to. Looking unto Job. I got a letter the other day. Why did Elisha die sick? I don't care. That was a football game. Why did Jesus heal everybody that came to him? Why aren't you asking that question? You're asking the wrong questions. Amen? People just go through the Bible looking for anything that can validate their lousy existence. They're despising what God has done. Now, they wouldn't use those words, but that's what they're doing. It's been done. Andrew does a tremendous series. You've already got it. It's already done. But if you don't understand it, if you don't believe it, if you don't receive it, or if you actually reject it, you're going to have a lousy life. Yeah. Amen. It says looking unto Jesus. It doesn't say looking unto Job. It doesn't say looking unto Elisha. It doesn't say looking unto anybody else in the Old Testament. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. You are a new creation. Let that rattle around inside of you for a while. Hopefully it'll find its way down into your heart. A new creation. What does that mean? Old things have passed away. All of your five loaves and two fishes excuses have passed away. God lives in you. And if God lives in you, what limitations could there be? Well, if you only knew. No, stop it. But no, stop it. When every time that something starts with well or but, it's wrong. Okay? But this is where so many Christians are at, and we're in the parade and they don't even know it. We won. They don't even know it. They say, well, yeah, theologically I understand we won, but if you only knew. Oh, it gets tiring. It says, they forgot their Savior who had done great things in Egypt. Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his word. They did not believe his word. And some folks say, well, it's hard to believe. No, it's not. Everybody in this room is doing it right now. Everybody in here is believing something. And where did it come from? It came from words or experiences or something. But you have a belief system. It's not hard to construct a belief system. It's just which one of you construct it. Believing is not hard. You're created to believe. Adam and Eve were created to walk and talk with God, hear him and believe him. They immediately didn't do that. But it's how you were created, and in the new creation, it should be even easier to believe God. They didn't believe God. All these things go together, but they despised the pleasant land because they didn't believe God. No, we saw giants. We look like grasshoppers compared to them. Their cities are fortified. God says, I've given you this land. Their protection has departed from them. Go, take the land. No, yeah, grasshoppers, can't do it. We only have, if you only knew. And this is the sickness, I would call it a cancer in the body of Christ, of people not believing God. Go with me to John 20, verse 30 and 31. It says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, now pay attention, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now, I don't know if you caught it, but I'm going to explain it. Something was written that you could have life. The middle part is your choice, that you could believe. These things aren't, people say, I wish I could have an experience with God. I wish, I know he's right here. Here's your experience. Here, the word of God is alive and active. The word is not a static, dead book. The word carries the life of God. These things were written so that you would believe, so that you would have eternal life, so that you would get healed, so that you would prosper, so that you would walk in victory, so that you would reign in life. These things are written. Amen. You don't need confetti. You've got the word of God. You've got God living inside of you. He's not up there and you're down here. We're there. This is the parade. We win. We won. What do you believe? Some people believe the news. Can you imagine? Some people believe the president. people believe movie history. They won't study history. They'll watch a movie of someone's interpretation of history, and that becomes their belief. A lot of people have screwed up history because they got it from movies. People believe all kinds of things. They believe what's happened to someone else is more powerful than what happened in them. Well, they believe that and they died. How does that impact you? Is that word written so that you might have eternal life? That you might have abundant life, that you might have a healed life, that you might have a restored life. It was written for you to have that. He sent his word, Psalm 107:20, and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Anybody going through some destructions? Don't forget God. Don't despise what he's done in you. Choose to believe. You get to choose. It's your choice. You can believe or not believe. Why did Jesus say, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? If you believe, all things are possible to him who... Why did he say if? Because it's a choice. You can choose today. I'm going to believe what's in this word. Because this word was written to me. This word has life in it. This word has the power of God in it. This word will change me. These testimonies are tremendous that we're seeing of changed lives. That can be you. Many of you, this is what you're going through, praise God. But some of you are still on the fence. You get to choose what you believe, and what you believe is going to set the course of your life. And if you're believing movies and news and politicians, and if that's where your belief system's coming from, that, man, good luck. But when you believe God's word, that's how I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I came across Luke 11:13. I was going through a personal debate about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is back in, I got born again in 72, so it's probably in 73. Going through this anti-Holy Spirit versus pro-Holy Spirit, there was all of this controversy going on. And I just studied and studied and studied with my roommate in college. And I came across Luke 11:13, and it says, he will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. And I thought, well, that's pretty plain. There it is. And I was kneeling over my bed praying in the classic prayer position. And I've had this in my Bible. He will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. And I literally held my Bible up to God so that he could see it. It says right here, you give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. So I'm asking and you're giving. That's so simplistic. But that's it. I chose to believe the word. I believe I received the Holy Spirit in that moment because that's what it says. 24 hours later, I thanked God for the next 24 hours. There was no manifestation at first, but I chose not to believe in manifestations. I chose to believe the word. Thanking God, praising God all day the next day, and then that night I go back to pray, and as I'm praying, the manifestation came. It was there, but it probably took 24 hours of Thanksgiving to clear the pipes. I don't know. But I believed I had received when I prayed. You get to choose what you believe. Don't despise what God has done in you. You can believe it or you can reject it. Don't forget God. Be thankful for everything God has done. Praise God. Choose to believe his word. Number four. I haven't been giving you numbers, but I just started. So. They forgot God, their Savior. That's number one. They despised the pleasant land. That's number two. They did not believe his word. Number three, but complained in their tents. Oh, now I'm going to be real transparent here. I was a professional complainer. I have medals and trophies. I was good. And I have realized as the years have gone by, and it's embarrassing to say that I can see complaining as part of my lifestyle. For a long, long time. And I have just come to a place of commitment. I still slip now and then. But I don't want a word of complaint to come out of my mouth because complaining is the language of the devil. Complaining despises what God has done. Complaining is, but we only have. If you only knew. I only can't, if you knew my background, if you knew this, if you knew that, that's complaining. And then we can take it into mundane things about our churches. We complain about this. I have been guilty of this. I complain about things that have gone on in churches I've been in. I don't complain out loud. I complain in my tent, my heart. And I've realized I don't want that in my life. What I'm talking about here with you this morning is how to live a life from above and not from beneath. And if you forget God and forget the good things he's done, and then you despise what he's done in you, and then you choose to not believe his word because your experience seems to be more powerful than his word, and then you complain, you see where this is going? You're walking away from the parade, and you're going back to the mud of the football game, and you're trying to do this on your own. You're trying to work it all out on your own. You're trying to fight this battle on your own. The battle's already been won. You're in the parade. And this is, for me, this has been probably the hardest thing to help people realize. It's got to be a revelation. It's got to be in your heart, a revelation. But I'm giving you the information. And for some of you, hopefully it's becoming a revelation. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. Well, so-and-so got healed and I didn't get healed. No, you got healed 2,000 years ago. I got healed 2,000 years ago. I had to fight for it. Could have been easier, could have been better. Maybe I made some mistakes along the way, but I'm still here. Stop complaining about your finances and do what Andrew is talking about. Become a giver. Take what you have and turn it into seed. The 5 loaves and 2 fishes became the seed for a miracle. That which they thought they only had became the seed of everybody getting all that they wanted and more than enough and baskets full left over because of a seed of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In the hands of the disciples, it was, we only have. In the hands of Jesus, what do you have? What do you have? You have the name of Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the blood of Jesus. You have the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You have the gifts of the Spirit, the tools to help other people. You have the fruit of the Spirit. You have the better promises. You have the keys of the kingdom. You can bind and loose. You have authority over the devil. Don't tell me, well, I don't think I can do that. No. That's despising the promised land, the blessed land. Don't despise what God has done. Amen? Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Don't despise what God has done. Praise God. I was going to give away some books. I forgot. We'll do that in a minute. Praise God. Don't complain. Complaining is the language of the devil. When you change kingdoms, how many of you have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his beloved son? You know what? When you change kingdoms, you have to change language. When we moved from the States we ultimately were in Chile for 12 years, I had to learn Spanish. If I'm going to navigate that culture, that country, and be effective, I've got to learn their language. When you moved over from the kingdom of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God, there's a new language. It's called the language of faith. It's called the language of love. It's called the language of possibilities. Yeah. Praise God. What language are you speaking? Well, Barry, what about Job? You're speaking the wrong language. You're speaking, why would you go to Job when you've got Jesus? Did Job die for you? Did Job conquer death and sin and hell and take the keys of hell and death? Did Job shed his blood for you? Why do you identify with Job? Looking unto Jesus. Does Job author and perfect your faith? No, he steals it. Looking unto Jesus. Amen. Don't complain. Stop complaining. I see you out there. Stop it. Amen. Amen. You're doing it in your tent, I know. Okay. Praise God. Last one, number five. They did not heed the voice of the Lord. They did not heed the voice of the Lord. I shared this with the students, I think, the last day of school. If you lost everything you had, nothing, you're wandering around out here in the trees, you have nothing, you have the capacity to hear God. And if you can hear God, you're the wealthiest person on earth. And you can, whatever you find yourself in, you can hear God and come out of it. You were created to hear God. Adam and Eve were supposed to be walking and talking with God. We can walk and talk with God because he lives in us. We don't even have to think of him as like this. It's this. And we can walk and talk and we can hear God. If I didn't hear God, I don't know where I'd be in heaven right now. Not a bad deal, but it's too soon. When the doctor came in and said, get your affairs in order, I couldn't have been more dumbfounded. I mean, I can't even explain to you how disorienting that was. If he had come in and said, we just discovered your father is Abraham Lincoln and your mother is Marilyn Monroe. I couldn't have been, that's not as confusing as being told I'm about to die. I was so disoriented. If he had said, we found your father as Mr. Bean, I would have thought, well, I can see that. Might be something to that. But, no, I was so disoriented, but God spoke to me. It was a still small voice, but something went off inside of my spirit. You will not die from this. Amen. That saved my life. Now there was a battle, but I had that foundation. I heard God. I heard God to get here to this ministry. I've heard God, in fact, let me give away this book right now. It's called Hearing God. A lot of my stories are in here, but just the importance of hearing God. Where's Matt? Matt, you're here? Give this to someone that needs to hear God. Amen. Hearing God is the most important capacity we as humans have. Everybody is born with it. You have the capacity to hear God. That's part of the creation. That's part of what makes us in his image. If you're not hearing God, it says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And here he's identifying hearing God with eating. How often do you eat? Well, you should be hearing God that often. This should be an ongoing daily thing, a walk with God, talking with God, expressing your heart to God, and then letting him quicken things to you or show things to you or bring someone across your path. You should be hearing God all of the time. This is how to live from above. They did not heed the voice of the Lord. They forgot God. They forgot what he had done in their lives. They despised the pleasant land. They didn't believe. They didn't hear him, or they didn't heed his voice. And when I look across the spectrum of the church and I read things from other denominations and other philosophies of doctrine and what have you, and I'm thinking, I don't want to be rude or crude or anything, but these folks don't know God. They're despising the new creation. They're despising what's happened inside of us. You, if you're born again, if you're not, you need to come up here and get born again. If you're born again, God lives in you. Don't say, I only have. You only have God. You have the greater one inside of you. All of your past is cleansed and washed and as far as the east is from the west. But what about, you're not in the football game. But what about, no, you're not in the rugby game. But what about, no, you're in the parade. You're in the parade. Things, it's over. It is finished. You're a new creation. Don't despise this. And develop your capacity to hear God. Where is he? He's in his word. Those things were written. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, that you might believe, believing faith. Believing is the verb, faith is the noun in this case. Your faith is going to come from hearing what was written, that you might have abundant life. That's good. Amen. Praise God. Did you get something from this? Okay, I got three more giveaways here. Shaping Your Future. This is a book about the power of the seed. You all are harvesting what you've sown up till now. You might want to change what you're sowing if you're not happy with the harvest. This is a great book. Shaping Your Future. Look for somebody that needs a future. Okay. This is the first book I wrote. I actually never intended to write this. I was asked to. Did God do this to me? This is a book of questions and answers. Difficult questions. I don't know what all I've got in here. I might have Paul Thorn and Job and stuff like that. Is God responsible for tragedies? You know, does God do all these awful things? That kind of thing. There's a lot of good questions and answers in here, so look for someone that doesn't have a clue. Okay. This book, He Healed Them All. And some of you have heard me tell this story, but when I was in some of my cranky periods during my year-long battle, my wife would tell me, Barry, you need to read your book. And I said, I wrote the book. She says, no, you need to read it. And I said, honey, I wrote the book. She says, but you aren't doing it. I thought, well, I bought my own book, put it on Kindle. I read it, and I'm still reading it. It blesses me, because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. There is some stuff in there, and when I reread it, you know, when you're a teacher, sometimes you forget the things God has shown you and that you've taught. And you go back and read things that you've done or listen to things you've spoken, and you say, oh, yeah, that was good. Well, this is really good. And so healing, a lot of, let me explain to this, people that write me with questions about healing and what about this and what about that and what about this, that's why I wrote the book. I don't have time for 5,000 emails a day. Okay, I do my best. But that's why we authors, that's why we write, so that you can get this and get it all in one place instead of writing emails all the time. So I'm not putting anybody down, but get the book, all right? All right, so praise God. Can I pray with you real quick? I got 2 minutes here and I just want to bless you. Hallelujah. You don't have to stand or just be comfortable, but Father, we just speak. First of all, Father, we repent if any of us have despised what you've done, have forgotten your goodness, haven't believed your word, and we've complained. Father, forgive us. And I know you've forgiven us right now. We're forgiven. But Lord, help us, teach us, lead us. Let us be led by your Spirit into the abundant life, into the pleasant land, that we would discover, cherish, appreciate, and not despise what you've done for us. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for every good thing that is in our lives. And Father, we know that whatever is challenging us, we have enough, more than enough. We have pressed down, shaken together, running over grace of God in us. There is more than enough. And Lord, we are going to walk in the pleasant land. We're in the parade. We're going to win. We are winners. And you are well pleased with us, Father. We thank you for that. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.